You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And your girl man save her. Better believe it, get on her knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Y'all, how you been doing? I love you and Creator does too. You know, I get lost a lot. I mean, not on purpose or anything, but now that I think about it, I get lost quite a bit. And I think maybe there's reasons for that. I think maybe one reason is that it's a time for Creator to teach me something. It's also a time for Creator to have me all to himself, right? I'm supposed to be so many places all the time doing so many wonderful things. But in those moments, I'm sort of all alone with God. I think the other reason I might get lost a lot is because it is a reminder to me to be completely dependent on the Creator, to trust Creator. And even when I think I have it all together, when you're lost, there's sort of a helplessness, right? That you have to trust Creator to help you out, help you get found. But one time I was lost, and I'm usually only lost in really big cities. You know, like I travel all the time, and sometimes these big cities have such fast traffic and so many turns and twists and all of these things. And so it's usually only in urban areas, which I'm not all that fond of, you know. I love urban areas and I love urban people, but driving in them is a challenge for me. So one of the times I was lost, notice how I say one of them, right? One of the times I was lost, what I learned was this. I was driving and I was having a great time and I was heading to perform at a venue and I was excited to go and I wanted to be there and I was just, you know, but I've gotten to the point in my life that if I drive myself in an urban area, I even allow time to be lost. I actually, and I'm not talking about Indian time either. I'm talking about I actually allow myself an opportunity, like an extra few minutes, just in case I get lost. Okay, so I was even with the extra time, I was still kind of pushing it because I had to get dressed and get my hair fixed and all those things and prepare to sing and to share with these beautiful people. So I'm driving and I'm really getting nervous a little bit. And I pull over and I pray and I look at the directions and I realize something. The road I'm on has two parts. It has an east part and it has a west part. And I am on the right road, but I'm going in the wrong direction. Oh, snap. That'll preach. That'll preach right there. It will. It will. Because I was on the right road, but I was going in the wrong direction. Well, what do you do when you're going in the wrong direction? You know, you stop and you turn around. People make a really big deal out of this in life. They say that repentance has to be this big, dramatic thing and much tears and lots of drama to go with it, when really all it has to do is to be truly sorry for the path that you're on that's the wrong direction and to stop what you're doing and turn around and go a different way. So I turned around and I went a different way. And guess what? I got where I was going. Now, how about you? See, I think you can be on the right path and going in the right direction. I was never not on the right street. I was just going the wrong way. And so I thought I was lost, but it wasn't all that hard to get found once I started heading in the right direction. I think some of us have to take inventory every so often about our gifts and our talents. I believe God gives gifts, and the gifts of God are without reproach. That's why sometimes you'll be listening to an awards ceremony, right? And someone will get up and they have literally made a song about drinking and smoking and drugs and twerking. And they will say, "I'd like to thank God." And you think, "What? What? What does God have to do with that mess?" But you know what? They're right. God gave them a gift. God gives gifts. He gives talents. I mean, I think about my daddy. He came up using an outhouse, and yet God gave me a pretty face and a pretty voice, and I'm a Harvard graduate with a Jaguar. Not because I deserve it, not because I earned it or was better than anybody else. It's because God gave me gifts and talents, and people helped me to use them wisely and well to move forward in life. So, what about gifts and talents? Well, you can have a gift and be on the absolutely right path, but going in the wrong direction with that gift. A gift will make room for you. It'll bring you before great people. It'll open doors for you, and it'll give you opportunities. I can't tell you how many programs in life I wasn't supposed to be on until somebody heard me sing, and then they made room for me. There's places I go now, and I'm going to go sit at the back and listen to the speaker. And somebody will say, "Oh, I see Dr. Don over there. Or some bird. Come up here and sing us one." And suddenly, there I am. Your gifts will make room for you. You have gifts because everybody does, because there is no respect of persons with the Creator. So everyone has gifts, wonderful talents, wonderful abilities. Okay. But if you're going down a path, we have to make sure that we're taking those gifts in the right direction. Very important. So that time I was lost, that time, I'll probably come back shortly and tell you about another time I was lost. But that particular time that I was lost, that one, here's what I learned. I learned that it's really important to be on the right path. Got to start with that. So if you've got a gift, I strongly encourage you to use it wisely. Improve your gift. If you can sing, practice your singing. Get good at singing. If you can do something artistic, practice it. Take lessons. Develop it. Develop that gift. Increase that gift. Use that gift. Be a good steward of your gifts and talents. Choose where you use your gift. You know, years ago, I realized something. I could sing any place I want, and I could probably sing any kind of music I wanted to. And that's because God gives us free will, but He also gives gifts. And just like Christmas Day, that's your gift. If I walked up to you and I said, "Here's $50 because I love you, and I just love you, and I want to give you $50. You know what? You could use that $50. You could drink it up. You could take it to the casino and gamble it, fritter it away. You could throw it in the bushes. Or you could buy some educational materials. Or you could buy food for your family. Or you could buy something that you need. But it really wouldn't be up to me, because I gave you a gift. I put the $50 in your hand and I said, I love you, 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 I love you. Enjoy." Well, how do we use our gifts? Because the gift is the path that we're on, right? Remember the street? I was on the right street, but I was going where? In the wrong direction. What direction are you going in with your gifts? We have to be good stewards of our gifts. You know, right place, right time, right audience, right use. Those things are very precious. But there's one other thing I learned while being lost. And you know what? I'm making it sound like I was lost for years and eons, right? I was just lost eternally. And I wasn't really lost all that long. But I was pretty panicked while I was lost. I was pretty worried while I was lost. Oh, yeah. And you know what? The battery in my phone. You know, y'all know how I am with phones. Lord Jesus, take the wheel. I have phone drama just... like, you know, it's just part of my life. And so my phone wasn't working and charging right. And I was like, no, the battery's on 11% and I'm lost and I don't know what to do. And I was on the right street the entire time. All I had to do was what? Turn around. Which brings me to the other lesson I learned while I was lost. Why is it really important that you go in the right direction? What does it matter? I mean, I've had people say that to me. I've had people say, what does it matter what I do? Okay, here's what matters, and here's what I learned when I was lost and going the wrong direction, but on the right street. It matters that you go in the right direction. You know why, sweetheart? Because there are two kinds of people. One, there are people who are waiting for you. See, it was really important that I got turned around and went the right way. Why? Because a whole audience full of people was going to need to hear what I was supposed to sing and what I was supposed to say. And the longer I stayed lost, the longer they did too. Somebody needs your gift. Somebody is waiting on you. Somebody can't really get themselves together without you. Isn't that profound? There's somebody who needs you. I'm talking to you. I know, because it's easy. You know what it's easy to do? It's easy to put it off on somebody else. It's easy to say, well, they need you because you're on the TV or you're on the radio. Or they need them because they're a teacher. Or they need him because he's a chief or a councilman. Or they need her because she's doing this great thing or that great thing. No, they need you. They need your gifts. God is not frivolous. You know that? When he gives gifts away, he also gives assignment. God is so good and so kind that he doesn't just give gifts, he also gives assignments. See, your gift is for something. Your gift makes room for you and brings you before great people. It also opens doors and opportunities for you. And not just for you. The people that were waiting on me, the people that were waiting at the end of that venue while I was off being lost somewhere, yeah, on the right street, but going the wrong direction, right? Yeah, see, I just tell the dumb stuff I do. Other people act like they don't do nothing dumb, but I do, and I just tell it. But I think that's why Creator likes me so much, is that I bring him amusement and merriment as well. But I think what happens is that we forget that our gift is not just for us. I don't listen to me sing. I don't. Now, sometimes I do preach to myself. I do motivationally speak to myself sometimes. But I do not have, I mean, really, your gift is always for somebody else. It's for somebody else to be encouraged, somebody else to be educated, somebody else to be uplifted, somebody else to be helped, somebody else to be comforted, somebody else to be blessed. So that gift that you have, the longer you're going in the wrong direction, the people who are waiting on you and your gift are going without. If I'd have never showed up at that venue that night because I'd have just stayed lost going in the wrong direction on the right road, there's a whole audience full of people who wouldn't have learned or grown or heard or whatever they were supposed to do from what I was supposed to bring to that place. So a really important reason why you need to go in the right direction with the gifts and talents and on the path that Creator has given you is because you have an assignment. You have something to do. Every person is given something to do that shows how great Creator is. Every person. All of us. Everyone. Every person is given something to do that can make this world, the world around them, the community they live in, their family, their tribe, their nation, their state, their country, their place of business, their house, their friends, their circle, a better place. And if you're going in the wrong direction, guess where you're not? With the folks that are waiting on you. Somebody needs what you know. Somebody needs what you have to say. Somebody needs to see what you can do. Somebody needs you. But there's another group of people. First group is the people who are waiting on you and your gift to get there. That's why you need to turn around and go in the right direction. But there are people who are following you. And I don't mean that in a crazy stalker weirdo way. I mean there are people who are watching your life and following after you. Now, those of you who are parents or grandparents or older siblings, or perhaps you're a leader in your community or maybe a school teacher, it's very obvious sometimes that people are following you. But somebody's following everybody. Someone is following your life. Someone is watching where you go. Somebody will follow you there. This hit home for me because I was at an award ceremony and I was nominated for a very important award, and I was on the red carpet and the paparazzi was taking my picture and I had makeup and my hair was fixed and everything was just lovely. And I noticed security out of the corner of my eye, and I do have really awesome security, and you know, that's good. No scrubs. But I have awesome security. And I know security was kind of, you know, usually I don't even know what happens because they're so good at what they do. Usually they just manage things and I never even know it happened. But I saw it out of the corner of my eye. And it was a lady trying to get my attention, a Native lady. And she was just like, "Honey Dawn, Honey Dawn, Dr. Dawn, Dr. Dawn." And I thought, well, my goodness, what's happening here? I mean, this is the red carpet. People are taking pictures. People are, you know. And I said, "That's all right. What does she want?" And she came to the velvet rope barrier. And she pointed at her daughter, beautiful Aboriginal girl. And she said, "She was you for Halloween." And it hit me right then and there. I mean, it was a joyous occasion. I was all dressed up. It was really lovely. But somebody is watching your life. Somebody is deciding how to live theirs by watching you live yours. And see, sometimes for folks like me, because I'm on TV and on the radio and even the modeling that I do and everything, I don't always see the audience. I don't always know who's watching. I mean, you know, if I read the news, I read it to a camera and a studio full of people, or I'm on the street with my microphone and the press bus, or if I'm on my radio show, I'm in the studio. I don't really always know. Even with music, you're in the studio. You don't always know. So you don't always know who's watching your life, you know. I don't know until something like that happens. So here I am on the red carpet at an awards ceremony. Having a lovely time, having a wonderful time, all dressed up, everything wonderful, beautiful jewelry, beautiful hair, beautiful dress. The paparazzi is taking all these pictures. And this little woman is jumping up and down and trying to get my attention with all her heart. I mean, she wants to know what's happening. She wants to get my attention. And she's hollering and she's waving her arms and she's trying to get me to pay attention to her. And security, of course, is like, "What is happening?" You know. And I say, "Fine. You know, what is it?" And when she comes up to that velvet rope, she says, "She was you for Halloween." And there's this little bitty girl. You know, this little girl, this little beautiful Aboriginal girl. And she was me for Halloween. And I stood there with all my makeup and my hair. And I don't usually wear makeup, y'all know that. And I was having this beautiful time. And all of a sudden, tears were coming down my face because I realized I was just so overcome. It mattered so much to me. I'm not recommending that y'all be just like me. No, 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 no. But I'm saying it was humbling that she would want to be. So why do you have to turn around and go the right direction If you're on the right path and going the wrong direction, why does it matter what direction you go in? Because, my loves, somebody is watching your life. Somebody is following you on the path that you're on. Sometimes you wonder why you're called to go through certain things. Why it's always you that's got to stand up and do the right thing or be bold and brave and courageous or right or whatever. You know why? Because you can. But also because somebody else needs you to be. Somebody else is paying attention to you. Somebody else is watching your life. Somebody else is following you. So I turned around and went in the right direction. And I ended up at the venue. And I sang and I spoke and I had a beyond beautiful time. And so I just want you to know how much I love you, how much I believe in you, how much I believe in the gifts and talents that are in you. If you're on a good path and going in the right direction, well, good. That is beautiful. Stay the course. Fight the good fight of faith. I believe in you and what you're doing. But let's say you're not. Let's say you just ain't quite there yet. You know... I still believe in you. I still believe in you. Fight the good fight of faith. I still believe in you. I believe in you and what you can do. I believe that you are a marvelous, glorious creature and that you are a brave and courageous person. I believe that you have beauty and sacredness on the inside of you. I believe you have gifts and talents that the world needs. I believe you are an important and valuable soul. I believe you matter. I believe that about you. So, pause and calmly think about that. And learn something, my darling, from me being lost and getting found.
My name is Dr. Dawn Karima.
I love you.
From the mouth we need his goodness. The love we breathe is fulfillment. The cup we drink is forgiveness.
No, I really don't wanna see the trail of the tears and the blood of the fear. You come and you feel that. As long as I'm breathing, I'm seeing this evil all around, all along, yeah, long, yeah, we cry out. Tears with too much faith, fear.
From the
the mouth you eat, and the love we breathe, and the cup we drink, and the tongue we speak, and you see them die. So tell me why, won't you come and breathe in? Save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, wanna turn right, but you turn all the way left.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Oh, wait a minute! They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Rhett.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years... Smokey's Only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Or? Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Kyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are, but I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
When you take your car in for an oil change, a good mechanic will also take care of other routine maintenance to make sure your car runs safely and efficiently. Protecting your health isn't much different. When you get a COVID-19 vaccine, it's important to make sure you're also protected from other serious but preventable diseases. It's easy and convenient to get other routine vaccines at the same time as a COVID-19 vaccine. So make sure you ask a healthcare professional about other vaccines you may need to maintain your health.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back, once the world forgets.
Today, I just want to talk to you. Is anybody hurrying? You got someplace to go? You got someplace better to be than here right now? Okay, alright. So, I'm going to start off by just telling you that I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes about maximize your best. Oh, everybody looked real happy when I said that. Yeah, maximize your message. And I believe the best place to start off any information is with the Word of God. because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if we're going to start, let's just start at the beginning, and that would be who?
Jesus.
So I want to talk to you for a few minutes from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And this is one of those stories that folks think that they know and they've heard already, so you'll be tempted maybe to think you know it, but we're going to look at it in a whole different way. Isn't that wonderful? Well, in Luke chapter 2, this is a very exciting time in life. God hasn't really said much of anything to anybody for 400 years, roughly. I don't know about you, but to me that seems like a really long time.
Yeah.
Because I need God to say something to me just about, well, pretty much every 5 minutes to keep me from, you know, to save me from my own silly self. How about you?
Amen.
Yeah. So, in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, Jesus' parents, his wonderful parents of our Lord Jesus Christ, are bringing him into the temple, and they're going to offer the sacrifices that they need to do. And it says in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. There were a lot of men in Jerusalem, but there was Amen. Whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. One of the good guys.
Amen.
Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him.
Amen.
Wow. It's a pretty good resume. Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody say that in your town there was you and the Holy Ghost was upon you? Just and
about.
Yeah. That's awesome. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What good news. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms. That's an amazing image, isn't it? Can you imagine that? 400 years, God has been completely and totally silent. And one day you hold him in your arms. Mm-hmm. I've seen people cry when they hold their first child or grandchild.
Yes, yes.
But I can't imagine hugging the Savior of the world. And bless God, yes. That's exactly what you would do. And said, very important, and said is extremely important here. Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation.
Amen.
That's beautiful, isn't it? They call it the Nunc Dimittis, and in fact, in many churches, they sing that, and everybody just feels so spiritual when they sing it. But let's look at somebody else who's in the same group. A little lower down here in my Bible, it says, verse 36 of Luke chapter 2, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. You know, that's a long time. That's a long time. I'm a young woman. That seems like a long time. But there's something about God in a long time that's kind of encouraging. Because did you know that your youth is renewed like the eagles? When I look at the scripture, it shows me that with God, it is impossible to be old. Because even when Anna was 80, she still has something to look forward to, and that was Jesus.
Amen.
See, the commercials will come on and say, are you over 50? You'll probably die soon unless you get this product that will help you. Feeling bad because you're 40 now? I mean, it's depressing. But not in God. Moses doesn't even get started until 40.
Amen.
Caleb is 80 years old. He's talking about, give me my mountain. And I'm talking about, well, I feel kind of guilty because I didn't want to get up and come out in the cold this morning. Jesus doesn't even really start his active ministry until his 30s.
Amen.
You still have a future in God.
Amen.
Because Anna did. And the other thing I love about Anna is that she must have had a fabulous attitude. She must have had a wonderful attitude because she has a big disappointment. She marries somebody and gets ready for a says she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Wow. And you were upset about the snow and the traffic this morning. This is amazing. And she coming in that instant. Oh my, don't you love in that instant? Seriously, what if Anna had decided not to come to church that day? She said, I've been coming to church for 80 years now. I think I can take a day off and go to Walmart. I think I've done enough fasting. I'm going to have some cheesecake now. But guess what? She doesn't. In that instant is when her miracle is. That's the wonderful thing about God, is that when you're in Christ, every day is an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else and to be blessed. Amen. And a lot of times, I only speak for myself, I won't tell all your business, but a lot of the miracles in my life were in that instant.
Amen.
If I had been 10 minutes later or 10 minutes earlier, mm-hmm. if I had decided to stay at the house instead of going, if I didn't call that person back. So in that instant, gave thanks, likewise unto the Lord. Likewise, like who? Like Simeon? Yeah. Unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. We've got two folks here. They're both righteous people, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, if the Bible bothers to tell people that you're just and devout, then I'll take their word for it. I'll take God's word for it. And so, we've got two people who are both righteous people, right? No doubt. They're both elders. I mean, pretty much, they're contemporaries, right? So they're really similar people. They're even in the same temple. And yet, one of these people meets Jesus and says, oh, I'm done. I'm going to kick back into the barca lounger and put my feet up, and I'm going to depart in peace. I'm done. I've received the message of salvation, and I'm finished now. My work is done. And the other one decides to maximize her message. Amen. Mm. See, Anna is not exactly young either. She could have said, I have held the baby Jesus. I have seen him. I'm so grateful and thankful. But she does something a little different. And when somebody does something so right that God puts it in the Bible, then I want to pay attention to what they did. So I'm going to give you some ways that we can learn from Anna to maximize our message.
All right.
Everybody looks so happy. This is wonderful. God will make you happy. My Bible says happy are the people who have the Lord for their God.
Amen.
We're not supposed to be depressed and sad and downtrodden. Yeah. How are you? I'm saved. I hope I make it. No. Absolutely not. It's the joy of the Lord that's your strength.
Amen.
And evidently, Anna had that joy because we can see her maximize her message. So the first way I want us to think about maximizing our message is by making God our business partner. And I'm talking about something really active. I'm not like talking about telling people, oh, you know, we just trust God and then you don't. I'm not looking at anybody. Just look away. Just pretend. If it's not, it doesn't say to you, just pretend, act natural. But when we make God our business partner, we have a great example of that. Hezekiah. He gets a horrible letter from Sennacherib basically saying, I'm going to destroy your empire. You'll all be dead. I mean, that's a paraphrase. Don't quote that in the Bible. But that's basically what it says. And Hezekiah goes with the letter into the church and lays it out before God. And he gets on his knees and he says, look at this letter, God. What are we going to do about this? You said you would protect us. You said you would help us. Hey, you're in this with us. Do you know I do that? Yeah. I do that with my pay stubs. I do that with my bills. When I get a little extra money, I say, what are we doing, Lord?
Amen.
Yeah. God will lead you to sales and deals and bargains and favor.
Amen.
God will show you where the right one is. God will show you if you already have it into your closet and you can't find it.
Yes.
If you make God your business partner, here's something you'll never do. You'll never hire the wrong babysitter. You'll never go to the wrong mechanic. You'll never take bad advice. You'll never cheat on your taxes. I'll just move right on.
Amen.
John 16:13 says that the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. He'll take what God knows. Oh, what could we do if we knew something God knows? And make it known to you. That means he'll take it in a way that you can understand it and accept it. John 14:26, it says, God will bring all things to your remembrance that he's taught you. If you make him the business partner. You know, Simeon and Anna both did that really well. It says Simeon was led into the temple that day by the Spirit. God will put you in the right place at the right time and keep you out of the wrong place at the wrong time. Think about Balaam and his donkey. And so it says that Anna came in at that instant. How'd she get there at that instant? How would she come to the late service? My church has Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then we have Bible study on Thursday. How'd she know which time she needed to be there to see the Lord? Because Jesus was her business.
Amen.
The other way that Anna maximizes her ministry is by having fellowship partners. Two are better than one, Ecclesiastes 4:9, because together they have a good reward for their labor, right? If you fall, one will lift up his fellow. Woe to him who is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. In fact, Adam spent all day, every day, with God, being friends with him, and yet God said it's not good for man to be alone. What?
Really?
Yeah. Two are better than one. My father talked about having a team. Somebody knows something you don't know.
That's true.
Even in the car, they've got mirrors in the blind spot. What is that? Because somebody can see something. They know something. On my team, I specifically always fill all the slots with some elders, people older than me. Some people my age, quite a few though. And then I also have people who consult with me that are younger. Why? Because they can see the future. They knew that my radio show that I do, A Conversation with Don Karima, should get a Twitter account before the rest of us knew. They knew the future. When we were on over-the-air radio, they said you need to get on internet radio and podcasting too. And of course the elders. Wow. That's not just about a number either. You can be old and not wise. In fact, you know, having fellowship partners is so important that the Lane Institute did statistics about the nonprofits that survive longer than the first 5 years, and they said unanimously all of them had mentorship.
Ooh, thank God.
But they also had peers. They had other people in nonprofits that they talked to about their questions and concerns. You know, having partnership and fellowship partners is so important that in Matthew 18, God says that that's one of the only prayers he guarantees you an answer to. If you'll pray agreeing with another person, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who's in heaven. I think if we really got that, we wouldn't get in strife. I don't have a spouse, but we wouldn't get in strife with anybody. Our spouse, anybody. We wouldn't have road rage. We'd stay in agreement. Why? We'd be all huddled up praying and getting results.
Amen.
We get an agreement. We get our prayer partners. What if you had coffee with somebody else who was here today? Not right now, but a little later down the road. And you talked. How are you doing on your mileage reports? How are you coming along? When you called Miss Gwen, what kind of advice? What if you really encouraged each other to do the things that you're learning here today? It would make a difference in maximizing your ministry, wouldn't it? Well, Anna does something else that pretty much guarantees success for any nonprofit. She maximizes her ministry by connecting her activities to an established ritual. In other words, she went to the temple. She did prayer and fasting. She had a pattern of behavior that made her open to the things of God. Seriously, she wasn't at a bar or a concert trying to hear from the Holy Ghost. She had a pattern of godly living so that when the Holy Spirit had something to tell her about that instant, she could recognize it and could hear it. You know, ritual is so important that God told us to bring our tithes and offerings on what? First day of the week. Think about Joshua chapter 4. After everybody crosses over the Jordan and it's a great miraculous crossing, they don't get their feet wet and all this kind of stuff. It's awesome. God says, take 12 stones and set them up, and when your children ask, what do these stones mean, you'll have a memorial. We've had a lot of information here today, and some of it's new, and some of it's very daunting. So, I'm going to advise you to connect what you've learned to something you're already doing. For example, one of my friends runs a medical nonprofit ministry in Guyana. And she always does all her daily record keeping with her cup of tea and her dessert. Now, that's not the most exciting thing she does all day, is write down, you know, how many miles and when and the receipts and all. But she's attached it to something that's kind of a treat. I have another couple whose sons are in grade school and they're learning about fractions and mathematics. And so they have their kids check the mileage with them every day. How far did Daddy drive? How far did Mommy drive? And they talk about it. Well, they're writing it down for record keeping, right? But they're attaching it to something that's not as boring and dull and dry as how many miles did Daddy drive. So if we connect it to an established ritual, we're more likely to keep doing it. You'd be amazed at how many people have really great records from January to March, and then they start kind of declining. The gene's not as good. September's just not there, and they just quit. And then it's the night before tax return is due, and everybody's panicked and stressed and getting in strife and not able to read prayer. It's just a big mess. So let's connect it to something that we're already doing. That's what Anna did. Seeing Jesus was just another step in her lifestyle. She was walking and talking with God every day. Maximize your message by not procrastinating. I can't hit this one hard enough. Because we see how important record keeping really is. We've got to start now. When you go out and get your car checked, go down. When you do your next ministry activity, write it down. Keep a diary. Know what's going on in your life. The Bible says, look well to know the state of your flocks and your herds. Well, I don't have any flocks. I don't have any herds. But I do need to know how many miles I traveled for my ministry. And what I spent in order to do what I do. So do you. And so, I want us not to procrastinate. You know, in fact, I'm thinking about, I think it's Psalm 63, verse 1, where he talks about, I'll seek you early, you know, if you seek me early, you'll find me. Yeah. So, the best time to start doing this stuff is right now. That's all. That's it. And Anna did that. Because it says in that instant, there was no other instant. Tomorrow was not the same instant. Mary and Joseph showed up that day at that time in that particular situation at that temple. If Anna had come tomorrow or yesterday or later, she would have missed her miracle. I pray that every day. Has anybody else ever prayed that? Lord, don't let me miss my miracle. I pray that every day. Especially as a single lady, I need to be in the right place at the right time. And look good when I'm there, too. Yeah. Right? But there's a lot of job opportunities, ministry opportunities. I think about a story my pastor likes to tell back home, how a young man wanted to talk to him, and he was in a hurry, he was filling up his car, and he was going someplace to a minister's breakfast meeting. And this young man wanted to talk to him about how to get saved. And he said, well, son, just come to church. We got services Sunday morning. Let me all blah, blah, blah. And he was, no, right now. I got to talk to you right now. And he said, I had to go to my ministry's conference. But I said, well, son, ride with me. Get in the truck and ride with me. We live in a rural area. You have to do some riding to go anywhere. So he rode with him. And he told him about Jesus. And he ministered to him. And the young man gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And he went to the minister's breakfast. He took the young man. He said, now I'll be seeing you in church. I'll expect to see him. And he said, oh, you will. And he said it wasn't 24 hours and he had heard tell of how that young man had been in a wreck. Jesus. And did not survive. Jesus. And so he talked to me really firmly about that. About, you know, don't miss your miracle. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, what if I had thought my minister's breakfast of already saved fellow ministers was more important than that young man meeting eternity without being saved? Don't let me get stuck here. Amethyst, she maximized her message by being in the right place at the right time and not progressing. What if Simeon had been led by the Spirit and said, oh, I just don't feel like it today? You ever had the Holy Spirit really deal with you about doing something and you're just like, oh, well, it's late, or maybe I'll do that later. I don't even want to know if I missed any miracles along the way. I don't. But I sure don't want to miss any more. So, Anna, our friend, who may well be one of the earliest evangelists, if you think about it. I mean, we talk about John the Baptist, who is the greatest man born of woman, and he certainly is. But Anna's pretty good in her sphere at telling people that Jesus has come, and that he is the Savior of the world. Maximize your message by having a clear, consistent message. Anna does that because it says very clearly here that Anna spake of him. Not him in politics. Not him and psychology. Not him and self-help. Just him. In fact, if you talk to Anna, you probably got the same message every time you talk to her. Think about the woman at the well. Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. And the people actually went out and saw him on that. That was good enough. And in fact, they even say to Jesus later that we do believe you, not because of what she said, but because we have heard for ourselves. John 6:69, my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. It's a pretty consistent message. We maximize our message when we do what Paul said. And Paul said, I know a whole lot of things. But I'm determined to preach nothing but what? Christ and him crucified. And especially in my generation, where we communicate in 140-word tweets, 160-word text, and 2-minute sound bites, it's not a bad idea to have a very clear message of what you're going to share, when you're going to share it. And sometimes you only have a minute to influence someone's decision for Christ. There are some people you will never see again. And there are some people who will not listen to you longer than the message. So Anna could have said, well, here's what I did in order to meet Jesus. I'm going to write a book on how to fast so that the Lord will come to see you personally at the temple. No, she didn't. She spake of him. We maximize our message. Maximize your message through continual education. You've been here today, and I'm so glad you're here today. Oh, thank you for coming. I know you could be anywhere else, warm and toasty, but you came out here. That shows how dedicated you are to the work Christ has given you to do. Sometimes you can tell the difference. You can. By who's willing to make a sacrifice to come out. Who's willing to really do something. A lot of them say, oh, I love God with all my heart. But ooh, it's 16 degrees. Not of us. We're here. We want to learn what God has for us. And we've done that. And I thank you for making an investment in your future with Christ. But continuous forward motion is what God is about. May God give you increase, you and your children. If anything doesn't grow, it's not God. God is all about forward, multiply, increase. He wants everyone to be saved. That doesn't mean you have to personally save everyone. That just means he wants that. And so Simeon said, I've seen salvation. I'm good with that. But Anna spake of him to all. That's a continuous behavior. That means if you saw Anna at the grocery store, hey, let me tell you something. If you saw Anna at temple 2 weeks later, or 4 months later, or for the rest of her life, what did she tell you about?
Jesus.
So you've come today, but laws change. Mileage rates change. Tax codes change. We've got to stay continuously informed. God wants that for us. Isaiah 33:6 says that wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Wouldn't you like to be stable? You know, an emergency is only an emergency if you're not prepared for it. If God forbid you had a flat tire and you had three spares in the trunk, you'd just be like, ah, whatever. But if you don't have any spares, it's an emergency. A fire in someone's house is an emergency 911. But a bonfire and roasting marshmallows is a really good night. So continuously knowing and growing and practicing and asking for help, asking questions until you feel safe about the information you have, that will give you stability in the financial portion of your ministry. And I've got one more of it. I know. But Jesus said, go you into all the world. Now, I don't know, but in my house, I don't really have the money to go into all the world. But I sure do get into a whole lot of it by using technology. And the final way that I see that Anna maximized her message is that she used every available opportunity and means to share it. Proverbs chapter 8. It says that I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. God didn't invent anything for the devil's people to use. It's there for us. You may not be able to go into all the world, but there is technology that makes it pretty close. I personally doubt I'll ever go to Finland or Denmark or Norway, but my radio show has listeners from there. You know, we talk about the enemy. You know, when television first came out, a lot of preachers preached against it. In one of my history classes at Harvard, I heard a vinyl. It was a record. It was like a 16-inch really big record. And they played it. And this was like the ancient times, you know. And this preacher was preaching. Okay, well, you know. And this preacher was preaching like, he was like, no, do not watch television. And television was really, really, really bad. But guess what? Now many, many people who are age 50 and under, the Lake Institute says that people 50 and under, as many as 35% of those that gave their lives to Christ did it because of a television program.
Amen.
Then the internet came out. Oh, the internet. Oh. People said, don't go on the internet. The internet is demonic. And yet there are ministries on Facebook right now reaching thousands of teenagers and young adults. Thousands. Jesus used technology. When he got ready to make the triumphant entry on Palm Sunday, he said, go get a colt that nobody had ever rode on.
Yeah.
That's about as close to a car. You know, go get me a Jag or a Mercedes. Right? I mean, it is. It's go get some train. He could have walked up to it. He didn't. He rode. Paul rode on ships. He didn't swim. And so a lot of times we can maximize our message by using every available voice around us. And one of the ways we do that is by looking at Anna. It says that she gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna went into all the world she had. I mean, in her 80s, she might not have been thinking about jumping on a boat or on a donkey and heading out. But everybody she met, she told them about Jesus. Ecclesiastes talks about casting the bread upon the waters, so you'll find it again after many days. Talks about sowing your seed. You don't know what will grow, perhaps it all will. And so we have to be ready to maximize our message. We have the best message there is. We have the best salvation, the only salvation. Let's maximize our message and let the whole world.
Savor, let a birdie take it on and easy pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back what the Lord forgave you.
Silent,
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the world forgets.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.